All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn back to the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 39. Genesis, chapter 39, for the message tonight. I want to read the first two verses of the 39th chapter, and then I'm going to preach on something that that's a little different. I don't know that I've ever preached on what I'm going to preach on tonight, but I think it'll help you. Look at verse 1. Verse 1, it says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." All right, now watch this next verse. It says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." All right, now look carefully at that second verse, and you see the word prosperous. That is an interesting word. If you knew the Hebrew language, this word is translated, same word is translated several different ways in your Bible. You remember the name William Tyndale. Remember the name of Tyndale? Yep. Tyndale translated one of the first English Bibles. He was just a brilliant man, and knew the languages well, and of course this his translation is old English. If you had an English copy of Tyndale's work, you would struggle to be able to read it. I mean, you would really struggle. It would look like a foreign language to you, although it's English. But it's old English. It is amazing how our English language has evolved through the centuries. Absolutely amazing. And when Tyndale got to chapter 39 and verse 2, he translated the verse this way. He said, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a lucky man." All right, now, you understand why that didn't stick, don't you? Yeah, you understand why that didn't stick. So when I read that, I just chuckled. I literally chuckled when I read that. And I tried to dig around and see if anybody else commented on what Tyndale was thinking, and I could not find anything about it. But Tyndale said that Joseph was a lucky man. Now, the King James translators translated it, he was a prosperous man. I want to speak to you tonight a message that I'm going to entitle, "Lucky or Blessed." Lucky or Blessed. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on us this evening. I pray that you will just help me tonight to say what I need to say. And Father, I pray that you will guide and direct my thoughts. I know what I want to say. The message is in my heart. But Father, I pray you'll help me now to communicate that message to each and every heart. We thank you for the Word of God. And Father, I pray that you will bless your Word this evening. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You ever heard anybody say, that's the luckiest guy in the world? You ever hear that phrase? Lucky. That guy's lucky. You know, it's amazing how our world has always thought that we could do something to improve our luck. Somebody said to Arnold Palmer one day while he was playing golf, that was a lucky shot. And Arnold Palmer said, you know, the more I practice, the luckier I get. That's genius right there. But we always, for as long as we have been on the planet, we have always thought there's something we could do that would improve our luck. You know, a rabbit's foot, or a shiny coin in our pocket, or a certain pair of socks, or, yeah, the horseshoe thing, or a four-leaf clover. And, of course, we all know that none of that stuff is real. We know that none of that ever pans out. There is no such thing as good luck and bad luck. Now, for sure, our world seems to be all hung up on this whole idea of luck. Now, as we read the story of Joseph, we might be tempted to step back and say, you know, that Joseph, he sure was a lucky fellow. And everybody loves a lucky fellow, right? Everybody loves a lucky guy. If, after a baseball game, one guy struck out five times, and then another guy on the other team hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning and won the game, the media wants to talk to the guy that hit the home run, right? Sure he does. Sure they do. He's going to be the one that's on SportsCenter that night. And you'll probably hear him say something like this. Well, I got lucky. I guessed right, and boom, I hit the ball right on the sweet spot of the bat, and it went over the fence, and we won the game. And he will attribute, most of the time, he will attribute his achievement to luck. Now, the poor guy, in the other clubhouse, who struck out five times, nobody's going to interview him. I suppose he didn't get lucky, did he? So nobody cares what he has to say. Now, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think God's people live in the realm of good luck and bad luck. I just don't believe that we should get up each morning and roll the dice to see how our day is going to go. I don't think that you have to check your horoscope on the comic page to see how things are going to turn for you that day. Now, there's a reason that the horoscopes are on the comics page. All right? And that devilish stuff is there on the comics page for a reason. It's a bigger joke than the comics themselves. And so I don't think that you should stay in the house if you see a black cat cross your path. I don't think that you should panic if you have an appointment and you get there and the office number is 13. I don't think that you ought to get nervous if you push the elevator keys and the elevator stops at the 13th floor. And I don't think that you should alter your day if you happen to break a mirror. And if you happen by chance to see a new moon through the brush while looking over your left shoulder, I don't think that you are going to be, of all men, most miserable. But I do believe that I can give you a little advice this morning, taken from the life of Joseph, that can help you be lucky as the world sees luck. Now, I do not mean by that that if you do what I'm going to advise you to do tonight, that you're going to become instantly rich or famous. And I'm not saying that you're all of a sudden going to become this handsome fella or this gorgeous gal. I'm not saying that at all. But if you will do what I'm going to suggest you do tonight, I do believe that you will have that inner prosperity of soul which was mentioned by Moses when he was describing the life of Joseph. That's what Moses meant. When Moses said he was a prosperous man, what Moses meant was that Joseph had something inside him that motivated him and that geared him and that moved him. And it was that motivation that put God's hand upon his life. Now, let me point out a couple of things to you about this matter of lucky or blessed. Point number one, understand we live in a world of natural laws designed by God. People need to realize that. We live in a world of natural laws designed by God Almighty. Let me tell you something, folks. Joseph's luck did not come as a matter of chance. Nothing does. That is true for the simple reason that there is no such thing in life as chance. What governs our world is a set of natural laws set in motion by God. Let me give you an example. There is a law that works every single time, and it's called the law of gravity. It works every time. And that law operates all over our planet. In past generations as well as in the present, this law has been in play with our world. You cannot say, well, I'm going to climb that water tower over on the hill back here, and then I'm going to take a run and jump off the top of that water tower and just see if I might be able to fly. You know, I've been lucky in the past in other areas, and so I might just have a chance to succeed. Well, I got news for you, Einstein. You ain't gonna do it. You're not gonna jump off that water tower and start flying, because there is a law that has been put into operation by God Almighty, and that law is the law of gravity, and it says what goes up must come down. And so you climb that tower, jump off, you're coming down a whole lot quicker than it took you to get up there. That's the law. That's God's law. Let's take another law God made, the law of sowing and reaping. God established the law of sowing and reaping when he created this world. If you plant beans in the ground, you're going to get beans. Nature is not going to surprise you if you plant beans and give you pumpkins. It's just not going to happen. What a man sows is what a man reaps. Whether you live in Memphis, Tennessee, or whether you live in Memphis, Egypt, it matters not. That law is the same. In other words, folks, there is no chance when it comes to the laws of God. Truth is, what we call chance is only another name for our foolishness. Amen. What we call chance is just another name for our ignorance. I read a story a couple of years ago about a bunch of Taliban soldiers over in Afghanistan, and they were celebrating the death of a British pilot. And there was this huge crowd that gathered, and thousands of people in the town square. And all these Taliban soldiers started celebrating by firing their guns right straight up in the air. And then suddenly, hey, what goes up comes down. And suddenly about six people fell dead. I mean, while the barrels of their guns were still smoking from several rounds fired straight up into the sky. Where is the chance when complete ignorance is involved? Now think about that. You see, my point is, what would bring luck to one person might bring disaster to another. Joseph was not lucky simply because of the circumstances that surrounded him. The truth is, much of Joseph's surroundings would make you think that he was unlucky. Right? But whether anything is lucky or not depends on how you receive it and what you do with it. For example, let me illustrate with his life. Joseph was the favored son of his father. And I suppose there are some folks who would say, wow, he sure was lucky to be loved so greatly by his father. You see, his brothers were all grown men, and they resented the fact that his father loved him so much. He was pampered by his father and mother, and he was the flattered member of the household. His father made him a coat of many colors, which just galled his older brothers. They did not like that at all. They realized that he was favored, and that coat indicated that he was destined to be the leader of the family one day, at least in his father's eyes. But while all of this external blessing was shining down upon him, this did not end up being a blessing to Joseph. Instead, it turned out to be a curse to Joseph. The jealousy that this created in the family ended up bringing a terrible blight upon Joseph. So what was then the secret of Joseph's quote-unquote prosperity, his good luck? Well, folks, it consisted, listen to me now, this is the message, it consisted in what Joseph was in himself. He was the maker of his own luck, as you are of yours. It is not some jinx that is to blame for failure. It is you who is to blame for failure. Joseph, as is every other person in the world, is the maker and molder of his life through the help of God and with God's blessings. Man, we need to learn this. I mean, you don't walk around with a rainbow over your head. And we need to learn that. Boy, I need some luck. I need some luck. No, you don't need luck. You need God. Amen. You need the Lord guiding your steps. All right, that leads me to the second thing. Joseph was the reason for his prosperity. So let's ask secondly, what virtues did Joseph possess that made for his prosperity? And there are three things I call to your attention. Number one, first, Joseph was a dreamer. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I mean that Joseph did not just have a today outlook. He had a tomorrow outlook. He saw beyond today. He saw tomorrow. He did not get so absorbed in the now and here that he forgot the things that lay ahead. His brothers were always thinking and dreaming of bigger flocks and more land and greater herds and making more money. But Joseph was dreaming and seeing visions of finer and greater things for the days ahead. Now, I think it is unfortunate that there was considerable conceit in Joseph's dreams, but this was, in my opinion, the result of Joseph's youth rather than some kind of wickedness or sin in his heart. I think it was youth that caused this. And I'm not so sure he should have so pointedly told his brothers what he dreamed, since it was obvious that it made them look weak and made him look strong. And at that moment in their lives, things were just the opposite. They were strong and he was weak. So I'm not so sure that he should have held it over their heads like he did. But folks, the point is, Joseph was a dreamer. And the world owes much to its dreamers. You just think about it. That bridge over a raging river was once just in the imagination of an engineer. But now a bridge is there. That beautiful painting that once was a blank canvas with a dreamer looking at it with a smile on his face was dreaming of what that blank canvas could become. So it does us good to dream. I don't mean crazy stuff. I'm just talking about you look down the road. Let me ask you something, young people. Have you thought about what God wants for you? I mean, have you thought about what the future holds? Better to be a dreamer like Joseph and have a goal and have a purpose and have an aim than to sit around and just look at today. Have something out there that you're aiming for and that you're shooting for. He was a dreamer. I remember when I was a junior in high school, I wanted to be a doctor. I had just gotten saved. And my plan was to go to medical school. I wanted to be a surgeon. And then all of a sudden, in between my junior year and senior year, the Lord called me into the ministry. Well, man, I had all my plans set. Everything was in place. And I'd already been accepted at West Virginia University in the pre-med program. I was going to go study medicine. But then all of a sudden, everything changed. And I'm glad that I listened to what God wanted me to do. I do not regret one bit. I've got to see the world preaching the gospel of Christ. And to be able to pastor this great church doesn't get any better than this. So thank God. But you got to have a dream. You got to look to the future. And that's what Joseph did. Could it be that the reason this man was so prosperous was because he looked down the road and he saw more than just what was in front of him today? I remember the first time that I went across the Ohio River. First time I went across the Ohio River, that was when I realized there wasn't a fence around the state. I realized you could leave West Virginia. I didn't know you could leave. And I went across the Ohio River and I thought, wow, there's a whole world out here. I got across the river and all of a sudden it got flat. It was the weirdest thing. Come back across the river in the West Virginia mountains again. And I thought, wow, look at this. But there's a whole world out there. Young people, go to the Lord and seek tomorrow. Go to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what do you want for me tomorrow? Be a dreamer like Joseph, and God will prosper you. Amen. Second thing, he was a worker. What virtues did he possess? Number one, he was a dreamer. Number two, he was a worker. Oh, what energy this man had. It is interesting that once the page turns from Jacob, his daddy, to Joseph, and the story goes from Jacob to Joseph, you never find Joseph idle. Strange, isn't it? Never do you find him idle. And yet, someone will say, oh, he was lucky to always have a job. No. He was diligent. That's why he always had a job. He was a worker. That's why he always had a job. He was eager enough to always have a job. Listen to me, young people. Success does not come to those who sit around and wait for it to come to them. In whatever vocation you decide to go into, you have to work. You have to work. And you have to work hard in order to succeed. Having good luck is not going to take you down the road of success, but hard work will. Hard work will. Abiding success in any field is won through hard work. If you depend on pull, you will sooner or later be pulled out of your job. If you depend on luck instead of work, you're going to be lucky to stay off of welfare. Amen. So make up your mind you're going to work. Hey, young people, that starts now. That starts when you're in junior high school. I mean, when the teacher says we're going to have a test on Thursday, hey, how about studying for that test and make an A on it? You can't say, well, I'm going to goof off now, but then when I get to college, I'm going to work hard. No, you won't. If you're a goof off in junior high and a goof off in high school, when you get to college, you're going to be a goof off there too. So work, work, work. That is the key, the virtue that Joseph possessed. And then number three, Joseph was a man of unshaken faith in God. A man of unshaken faith in God. And you see, this proved to be Joseph's greatest asset. It was his faith in God that colored his dreams. It was his faith in God that nerved him for his tireless work ethic. Moses said God was with him and he prospered. He was prosperous. Tyndale in his English translation said God was with him and he was a lucky fellow. No. Good try, William Tyndale. But God's people don't work in the realm of good luck and bad luck. Every man is forever lucky, though, who has God on his side. You mark that down. Nothing can prove of abiding good fortune to the man who lives without God. Nothing. Joseph walked with God, and God blessed him. And anybody can walk with God if you just will walk with God. And if you do, you will find yourself prosperous as well. Number three, let's lastly ask ourselves, what did Joseph's luck consist? Of what did it consist? Moses said that God prospered Joseph. Tyndale said he was a lucky man. So how did he prosper? Let's think about that for just a moment, and then I'll be done. How did God prosper Joseph? Well, number one, he was kept clean in the midst of a corrupt and evil environment. That's how God prospered him. You remember his environment? He had no parents. His parents were back in Israel. He had no family. His brothers were back in Israel. He's down in Egypt. He didn't have to worry that anybody was looking over his shoulder. He was sold into slavery by his jealous, evil-hearted brothers, and he ended up down in Egypt, sold as a slave. So here he was, all alone and in a place where nobody knew him. He was completely unknown. And yet, when tempted to sin by Mrs. Potiphar, Joseph stood on his own two feet and made the decision to resist her advances. And what did he say when that happened? He said, "How can I sin and do this evil against God?" Wow. That sounds like that man had some convictions. Doesn't it sound like he's got convictions to you? How can I do this evil and sin against God? You see, he passed through that moral swamp and didn't get a single speck of mud on him. Lucky? No, resolved. Amen. There's a difference. Yep. Lucky, you say. No. Luck had nothing to do with it. Resolution had something to do with it. Remember the song? "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Oh, my folks, there's nothing like being resolved. God prospers those who do right. God prospers those that live right. God prospers those that trust right." And if we will keep clean in the midst of a corrupt and evil environment, God's blessings will be ours. Luck has nothing to do with that. That's God's blessings upon your life. You see, God prospers those who do right. Secondly, he kept a good heart through all of his adversity. Man, you talk about somebody that had some difficulties. Joseph had them. Hated by his family and sold into slavery. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine your older brothers standing there counting their money as you're being carted off by the Midianites? Can you imagine turning around, looking over your shoulder, and there are your older brothers all standing around dividing up the money that they got by selling you? Oh my. Hated by his brethren. Then we see him in Egypt standing up to Mrs. Potiphar. And then he ends up in prison. And don't you think the devil whispered to him in prison and said, "You see, Joseph, it doesn't pay to do right. Look what you got for doing the right thing." Well, folks, I submit to you that he was in prison not for doing wrong, but for doing right. And if we suffer for doing wrong, then we should not be surprised, because we all know the law of sowing and reaping. But when we have to suffer for doing right, then we can all start being a little suspicious that maybe things aren't like they're supposed to be. But you know, Joseph never reached any such conclusions, did he? No, he just trusted God. Amen. Even in prison, he kept the same patience, the same cheerful heart, and was as helpful to others as he could possibly be. And what was the result? Well, soon, you know the story, everybody in the prison trusted Joseph. Soon, I mean, this young slave won the confidence of everybody that he met, even when he was in prison. The warden trusted him. His fellow prisoners trusted him. And yet, there he was, stuck to languish in this prison. But he never gave up hope. He never got bitter. He never allowed himself to get angry. Do you remember all those years later when his brothers came? And there he is now sitting on the throne. And his brothers come in. They don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. Oh, he could have rubbed his hands together and said, "I'll make you pay now." But he didn't. He stood there before them and wept. He wept. And he loved them, even in spite of what they did. Through trial and through tear, God prospered Joseph. You might say, like Tyndale, Joseph was a lucky man. And if that is what you say, then I say to you that you too can be as true to Joseph's God as he was. And if you will be as true to Joseph's God as he was true to his God, then you too will be a lucky man. If that's what you want to call it. I don't call it luck. I call it blessing. And God blesses those who walk with him. Folks, I guess my point tonight is I just want you to walk with God. I don't just mean on Sunday when you're here in church. I'm talking about tomorrow when the clothesline, when the washer won't work, when the clothesline breaks, when the car won't start. I mean, just walk with God. I'm talking about you walk with God when you don't have enough money in the bank to pay the bills. Walk with God. Walk with God when that doctor gives you the bad report. You just walk with God. And God will bless. And God will meet your every need. He's promised to do so. My Bible tells me, and it's in your Bible too, where Paul said, "And we know." We know this. This is a fact. We know this, that all things work together for good to them that love God. You see, God turns our losses into great gains. He changes our defeats into mighty victories. God kisses our tears into jewels. And I guess my point tonight is, if you will walk with God and serve him and love him and follow his will for your life, your friends and your family will one day gather around you and they will smile and say, "Boy, you know, he sure was a lucky fella." Oh, we know what they mean. They don't really mean there's such a thing as chance. What they mean is, boy, God sure did bless you. But that's what God does to those who follow him. Joseph did, and God blessed him for it. And if you will follow God, God will bless you as well. Tyndall, in his zeal, he said he was a lucky man. Nah, he was a blessed man. There's a difference. Amen.